today, which is not the collect used for a church meeting. It just happened to be the collect for today in the church calendar. And it says, "Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation." Give us grace, Lord, to answer readily the call. That collect, as I prepared for this week, for regular church and for our annual meeting, made me pause and ask, how does that grace shape this church of St. Peter's by the Lake? And I think there are three or four ways that we should think about how we are shaped by the grace of God to do the work of God, to answer readily the call of God to us individually and to this church. One way that this grace shapes our church of St. Peter's by the Lake is our decision or our choices of how we continue to bring order and intention to our church community life. These are the bigger picture things. How do we do these things with grace so that we can be equipped to do the work of God here? The two things that came to mind, especially as I prepared again for annual meeting, the first one is very big to me, and I think to many of you, and apparently to your vestry, and that is the repayment of the debt. I know that very often we can just think of debt as part of life, and so we just go on with it and pay what we need to. But your vestry has chosen in the last several years to accelerate the payment, the repayment of that debt. I think personally that that is a way that grace is shaping our church, because when we are no longer in debt and no longer have that monthly payment due, we will have more resources to help other people. More resources to use in answering readily the call that Jesus puts before us. The other way that I think grace has shaped our corporate life is in our work on the facilities. Of course, the most prominent and the most well-known is the work on the kitchen, which is being finished up now. We have some few things that need to be done. But one reason that we still have a few things to be done is that I feel like we have been very good stewards of the money that was gathered to do this work, and much of the work is being done by our members. And so we put up with a little bit of a delay because, first of all, we know it's being done right, and several people are helping us to do these things and to cut our costs. We have plenty of money to renovate the kitchen, but I think it is a grace-filled way for us to take part in that renovation and to take part in all of the physical things that need to be done to our facility. The vestry has also chosen to set aside some money in anticipation of replacing air conditioners, especially here in the church, and so as an Episcopalian, our church is not big on the concept of burning in hell. And we don't want anything that even hints toward that. So when the air conditioning breathes its last, your vestry has made us ready to address that need so that we can continue to worship in comfort and to gather in comfort. Mr. Warm-blooded back there. So how can we continue to bring order and intention, not just to our corporate life, but to our individual spiritual lives? There are a few ways that I would ask your help and your participation. The main one is worship. Anyone who has worked with me at all since I've been to this church knows that I obsess about the number of people who come. It's just a measurement, you know, having worked for the state for 28 years. We were often made to measure things that really didn't measure very well. But if a lot of people come to worship, it tells me that there is something worth being here for. And I believe there is something worth being here for. I ask you to do what I am trying to do, not very well sometimes, and that is to improve my prayer life. And I ask you to pray regularly and individually for the church and for our work and for our direction in your individual spiritual life. You can also find more depth if you choose to do some study. We have EFM. We have Sunday school. We will have other classes. Probably we'll have a class during Lent. We frequently have things on Wednesday evenings. And I ask that you consider looking at some form of study, whether it is a gathering here at the church or your individual Bible study. If you would like help in getting some direction, just come by and see me, and we can work out something that works best for you. I think that we guarantee that our life together is shaped by grace. And this sounds very obvious. If we live what we proclaim that we are all about love God and love neighbor. Our society is in a very difficult time right now. We've been through difficult times before. So what is our job as the church? To show that we live in God's grace and that we are trying to proclaim God's grace to others. There are some very small things that turn out to be immense things. We can hesitate before using harsh words. In person, electronically, or in social media. I know a lot of you don't use Facebook or Instagram or any of those, tools, but weapons might be more appropriate. And I understand that they offer an opportunity for us to express opinions. But they don't show us what the consequences of those expressions might be. And they don't allow us to explain in depth. And I would say in a conversation with another person about the church or about anything else, in a Facebook post, in an email, in a letter, in anything, pause before you put words out there. Because they, in a sense, are irrevocable. If they harm, you can't go back and explain and fix it. The harm is done. So to live a life of grace and be formed in grace, we would choose our words carefully and lovingly. We would aim to forgive those who hurt us instead of trying to hurt back. Because it's a cycle. People who have been hurt want to hurt other people. And if we can be the ones that stop that cycle, we have brought grace to bear in the world. We would live what we proclaim if we continue to help with parish ministries, help with our children, help with hospitality, help with outreach. And one of the, I think, the very best things that this church has done to live what we proclaim, to love God and love neighbor, is our interfaith relationship with our Muslim friends. First of all, it's very enlightening, and it is very healthy that we begin to know people as people and don't make broad assertions about them because of their faith. We also help to fight against their making broad assertions about us because of our faith. And we also model something that the rest of the world needs to see, which is we relate to other people as people. Love God, love neighbor. Finally, I think that we should insist that our Christian faith form and inform us in our participation in society. When it comes to politics or anything else, do more than criticizing. Join an interest group. Do something productive. If you believe strongly in something, take action. I don't care what side you are on of what issue. If you believe something is a direction that you should take because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then take it. Don't talk about it. Join groups that are productive and healthy and that take action. I ask you also to help me and the vestry to continue to look for outreach opportunities. Because if we are feeding and sheltering those who have less than we do, then we have begun to form the world with grace. The world around us is chaotic. It is scary. It is fractious. We're not victims of that. We are often participants. But we are to be formed by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in being formed in that way, we are to act lovingly to others, work for change where we believe change is needed. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and to proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.